Welcome to The Good Word. My name is Mike Barnett, and I am with Brent Berglund from the Walla Walla University School of Theology, and also with Bob Resch, a retired physician. Thank you for joining us. Gentlemen, setbacks in life, how do they come about?
Sometimes things happen outside of my control. I really enjoy playing disc golf, and it requires a certain level of physical fitness and stamina, not like a marathon runner at all, but we'll go play a couple hours sometimes on a Sunday. And some days I feel like I'm throwing really well, and then I'll pull my shoulder a little bit, or my elbow will get tight, and I'll have a setback. And then the path I was taking towards being better slows down. And so injuries I do to myself. Sometimes it's choices I make. Oh, it's raining today. I'm not going to go out. I could, but I'm not going to. Or sometimes I just have way too much work to do, or I have family in town and I don't get to work on that. So sometimes it's self-inflicted. Sometimes it's from outside of me.
I agree.
So how about when we're talking about self-inflicted setbacks? Think about those with me. I one of the stories that I was interested in is a parable, the parable between two builders. One guy builds his house on the rock, and the other guy builds his house on the sand. And I'm thinking that the guy who built his house on the sand endured a terrible setback, right? That, to me, was self-inflicted.
Lack of planning.
Yeah.
But how proud he was of his speed of construction early in the story.
Yeah.
Who needs to build a good foundation? Let's just get this thing up. Yeah, so setbacks, like in spiritual life, setbacks can come when I don't build on a solid foundation. I think about the parable of the sower and the seed, and it says that the seed that fell on good soil produced a crop, but soil that was rocky, where the seed could fall down a ways, but it didn't have depth of root. It sprung up quickly, but it didn't have root, and the setbacks happened when the sun came out, scorched it, and it died. And scripture says that, you know, when trials come, it withers because it doesn't have much root. So setbacks can come when we don't establish a good spiritual foundation.
So in that story, could you clarify for me, did the setbacks come because of a fault that the ground chose, or that the seed chose, or that the sower chose? If a sower knew there were all these different kinds of places where the seed could land, why was he not more careful in where he put his expensive seed?
Yeah, and I think, part of the beauty of this story is that God sows the seed everywhere. I think the difference is that sometimes we think that the soil types are always set, and I think the soil type can be changed.
Ah, you're thinking that maybe instead of just one piece of farmland that was all hard-packed, rather, there was a combination of these things, which would represent a human life. There are areas in my life, for example, that are definitely like packed earth. I don't want God's seeds growing there, right? And then there are other areas where I'm open to that.
That's right.
All right. So that's a possibility. Yeah. Okay. Moving on. So you experienced a major setback in your life. How will having a good character help you when the setback is not of your own making? How will having a good character help you?
Well, in times of trouble, I think we try to just keep on keeping on. And if we had some kind of direction before this trial came, if we knew what our goals were before this trial came, we could still pick up the pieces and try to go that direction, despite the weight of the disappointment which surrounds us.
Okay. We think of the story of Job, right? Here's a guy, setback does not appear to be of his own making. How did having a good character help him?
Well, it allowed him the freedom to talk back to God and say, this is not working. I don't understand this. And God didn't actually answer him as God answered Abraham and Moses. He just said, this is what it is, take it. But we can learn some things from that, perhaps.
Yeah, I think Job learned some things from God's speech to him at the end of Job, but certainly Job didn't maybe get all the answers he wanted, because he wanted to know why he, who was a righteous person as far as he knew, was being treated as if he were being judged for being evil. right? That's what all of his friends said, Job.
His closest friends judged him.
Yeah, you're evil, bad things. You must have done something wrong. That's why all this is coming on you. And we do that to ourselves, right? When something bad happens in our life, somebody I know and love gets in a car accident. Man, if only I'd called them right before, they wouldn't have been there. They wouldn't. Maybe it's my fault. Maybe it's because I did something wrong. We all castigate ourselves that way when bad things happen. Job wrestled and said, I know that I'm righteous before God. I know that. I just wish God would come and tell me why. And so I love that, Bob. He talks back to God. He has a relationship with God where he is comfortable questioning the Creator himself. I just wish he'd come and tell and speak for himself. I wish he'd come and defend himself, because I would just love to know my Redeemer lives. I know it, but sometimes I don't feel it, because look what all I've lost.
Now, I've read the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, I once had a lovely wife who died of brain cancer. Mm-hmm. Despite all the fervent, righteous prayers of anybody who would be willing to pray. So she was not healed. I mean, she survived months later than we would expect, but I lost her.
Mm-hmm.
And now, as I'm trying to understand, was it because I was not fervent? No, I was fervent. Was I effectual? No, I was not effectual. Was it I was not righteous? Oh, those are questions that have occurred to me for years, because if I find a Bible text that sounds like a promise, does it mean it is a promise to me? Or is it for you, perhaps, or somebody else?
Or do I also sometimes read too much into it? Because when it says it avails much, I had the same sorts of prayers for my father sitting by his bedside while he was dying, you know, saying, Father, he died at 58. That's a little young to lose a dad, right? And so I was a young pastor and just really starting to have a good relationship with my father. And at that point, you know, was wishing I had more time with him. And I thought God would heal him. I really believed it. I believed in my heart, God can heal my dad, and I can see a miracle right in front of me. This is really neat. And then it didn't happen. But I've come since to realize that my effective righteous prayer was, number one, about my attitude towards God and allowing him to do his work in his time, and also in hoping and trusting in the resurrection, when my prayers will be answered fully, right?
And I received similar comfort slowly from God.
Yeah.
Because the stages of grief don't happen all at once. They don't happen in a specific sequence, but they all happen. And the anger against God, for me, went on for years.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, that was not so painful as it was before. And then God began to give me attractive options.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, you guys have been through some stuff. I have too recently. You know that I lost my mom in December. So, yeah, still working on planning a service for her, in fact. So we've been through some difficult times, and we look at some of these kinds of setbacks, and we think, wow, these are painful to go through. Why doesn't God spare us of these kinds of problems? And I think sometimes when we look at biblical texts, promises, and so on that seem so incredibly strong and powerful, we are still living in a sin-damaged world. Mm-hmm. And as one author has said, there are certain rules of engagement, right, that God operates by. And those rules of engagement prevent him from doing all the good that he probably would like to do, that he would like to do. Let's just say it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we look at that, we have to ask ourselves, why would God answer all of my prayers the way I want him to answer them, given the world that I'm in?
Hmm. Yeah, given the circumstances around us, could I look back after everything happens, could I argue that maybe God's plan, even in withholding his protection or his power to heal or his intervention, maybe I would have chose no other path, because I find out that in the process I grew. You already mentioned character in your question.
Yeah.
I think that we start with a bit of character when we go through difficult times. And I'm grateful, Bob, and I hope it was like this for you too, that when we lost somebody very dear to us, we already had a sense of the goodness of God.
Oh, yes.
And I praise God for that. And that was a change in my character because I didn't always believe that when I was growing up. I was grateful I had it when my dad died, but I've gone through much harder things since then. Mm. And those more difficult things, I think I learned some character going through the trial of losing my father, going through the trials of education and failure in education that were my own setbacks, my own bad choices that I learned from and developed some character. So now I'm in a better place to deal, hopefully, with the next one, because I think there'll be more. Scripture tells us I ought to pray for tribulation and trial. I ought to ask for them because they will produce character if I'm willing to let them.
So we started out thinking a little bit about a parable about these two builders, right? Mm-hmm. And in the two builders, it was something like this. One guy built, you know, on rock and the other guy built on sand. The notion we sometimes forget is storms will come. Storms will come. They came to both.
Yeah.
The man who built on the rock and the man who built on the sand. Storms will come. So what helps you? What helps you when you are in the middle of a setback?
I may not get help right away. I may have to think about it for a very long time, and there may be many internal struggles, which I may share with somebody else, or it may be too painful to share with somebody else. But eventually, I do feel better about these tragic times. And because if I have trouble, by the way, in any other portion of the Bible, I'll flee to the Gospels because Jesus is much easier for me to understand than any other part of the Bible.
Okay, so that helps you, reading the Gospels. Mm-hmm. How about you, Brent?
Yes, I know that storms do come to everybody and they come in different ways. Some of the biggest storms come internally, questions of doubt, in some of the things I've even said I've believed. I'll have moments where I wonder, is this really the case? Or where I'll question some belief that I've held, and I don't like cognitive dissonance, and working through that is difficult. But for me as well, I agree with you, Bob. I go back to Scripture. And for me, I often go back to the foundation of the character of God. I like reading Isaiah and seeing who God is there. But yeah, Jesus is the fullest revelation. And oftentimes, it's the little book of 1 John for me that's helpful. Simple, profound, basic, because I'm kind of simple and basic myself.
Well, I'm odd, I guess, in the three of us. For me, I don't have one specific place that I need to go to in Scripture. I think I mentioned before, or perhaps put in writing, I can literally go to any place in the Bible. And as long as I'm studying it, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. It's when I, you know, just do some shallow reading of it that I'm not good. And it doesn't matter to me whether I'm in Lamentations or I'm in
Philippians,
you know,
or something joyful.
Something joyful. Well, once again, we've run out of time. I want to thank our sound engineer, Amber Amos, today. Thank you, Brent and Bob. We will catch you, listening audience, next time.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.